Well, yes. What our task force is here to do is really to understand what the impacts of climate change, especially in the Arctic, will have on Navy's operations. We look at climate change really as simply as changing geography, and we work on, above, and under the water and the ocean every day. So we need to understand as that environment is changing, how that will impact our naval operations. So really, it's all about readiness for us.
So what kind of resources does it take for the Navy, which is stretched thin in terms of the number of ships these days? What does it take to be able to examine climate around the world?
Well, the great thing we have found as we've put together our task force is that there are many different agencies, both inside our federal government, inside academia, and with our foreign partners and allies who are very welcome to share their research. And what we can do is take the research that is being done by many other people, correlate that, examine that, and then really understand how these changes are going to impact naval operations and what the kinds of things are that we are going to need to do and when we would need to start doing them.
So what do you mean? How would climate affect future naval operations? I'm not sure I follow.
Okay, well, here's an example. As we take a look at the Arctic, we believe that in about 15 years or so, we'll start seeing some weeks of ice-free conditions in the Arctic. And that would mean that a ship, a merchant ship, that where 70% by value of the world's trade is carried, can go right from the Bering Strait across the top of the Arctic and then straight to Europe. And that could save potentially 4,000 or 5,000 miles off that trip from Asia than what it takes today. So by the middle of the century, that could be a very, very significant change in the world's trade routes. We in the Navy need to understand how those changes are going to impact the world.
It sounds like it could also be a national security concern if enemy ships could get around over top that much faster also.
Well, the Arctic is an ocean, and just like the oceans of the Atlantic and the Pacific and the Mediterranean, the Indian Ocean, ships of the world of different navies, our navy, everybody's navy, have the ability to travel through those. The Arctic increasingly will open up, and it will start looking, at least in the summer and the fall, more like most of the other oceans in the world, in that we'll have very little ice and will be able to be used by really all the peoples of the world.
It's important to distinguish the difference between climate and weather, and I think you just did that very well, but it also sounds like watching climate change is not something you would do over the matter of weeks and months. This is generations of data that you would have to compile.
Yes, you're exactly right. You know, climate change is something that does not happen, you know, very, very abruptly. It sometimes people say that climate change, the news seeps rather than it breaks. And what that means is you really do have to take that long view. So you take a look over years and decades. Having said that, though, it's amazing how fast the changes have been occurring in the Arctic. What we see is that the amount of ice in the Arctic right now is very, very different than even a decade ago. And on a climate scale, that's very quick change.
We're speaking with Rear Admiral David Titley, the Navy's oceanographer and director of the Task Force Climate Change. Now, do you work with other navies in this effort?
Yes, we absolutely do. We have a very close relationship with Admiral Neil Morissette in the Royal Navy. We have had very close and continue to have very close relationships with the Norwegians. We have worked with our Canadian colleagues up to the north. Even Australia is interested in this, as are many, many other navies. And in fact, the Department of Defense, along with our European command, hosted what we called an Arctic Roundtable, which for the first time allowed all the navies and security services of the Arctic countries and those other countries who are interested to gather together at one time to talk about issues of mutual interest.
Now, in recent years, NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and also NASA and several other agencies of the federal government have been pulled into this whole climate change research business. What can the Navy add uniquely naval that is different from what NASA and NOAA are already checking with their own ships?
That's a great point, because we're actually not in the research business. What we are doing is we are taking the great work of NASA, of NOAA, of the National Science Foundation, and of many other agencies, and we are leveraging that work or using that work to understand how those changes that the very smart scientists are predicting for us are going to affect naval operations. We are not in the business of duplicating anybody else's research here.
So you're basically analyzing all of this information through a naval lens.
Exactly.
What are you going to be talking about at GovGreen?
At Government Green, we are going to talk about, again, how we see the changes in the Arctic coming, the really quite rapid changes, how that impacts the United States Navy, some of the impacts to national security. We'll also look at some of the impacts of climate change that are a little bit further downstream or downrange, if you will, such as sea level rise. And that has to deal with not only how the water, as it warms, takes up more space, but also the ice sheets on Greenland and West Antarctica, and what the scientists are starting to discover about their trajectory and how that may impact our infrastructure both inside the United States and with our critical partners and allies overseas.
And as I'm sure you've probably heard when you tell people that you do this climate change research, climate change can be a political hot potato. How are you able to stay above the fray and keep it, you know, very strictly data-oriented? And what are the changes telling you without there being any kind of political taint to it? You see what I'm asking?
Well, Amy, that's a great point, and you're exactly right. We really stick to the data. We just take a look at what the data is telling me. Once many years ago, the Navy gave me a job as a navigator on a destroyer. And what I learned a long time ago was that to be successful in that kind of job, and really many others, is you really need to take a look at all the data and then make your judgment based on that. And what we see is between the glaciers retreating, the ice in the Arctic retreating, land temperatures, sea temperatures, as well as what some of the natural ecosystems are doing, the evidence is really a preponderance of change and change to the warming. So regardless of the cause, we see that our environment is changing, and it would frankly be negligent for the United States Navy not to consider how that will affect future operations.
Well, let's hope the littoral combat ships don't have to patrol the waters outside of, say, Pittsburgh.
I don't think that will be a problem there. When we look at sea level, even over the next centuries, we're talking feet of rise, not hundreds of feet. That would be quite a leap there.
All right. Rear Admiral David Titley is the Navy's oceanographer and director of the Task Force Climate Change. Thanks so much for joining us.
Okay. Thank you very much.